If you'd like to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 13. Okay. Yes, Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. I must admit, I've found this subject a difficult subject to know what to say, and I prayed a lot about it, and thought a lot and read a lot, and I believe this is what the Lord would have me say this morning, and if it's not, you could tell me afterwards. But one of the questions I was asking myself is, are we happy with the amount of praying that the church does? Does the amount of church prayer correlate to the amount of private praying? Is the way we pray what God is happy with? It's a very personal thing, prayer, isn't it? Some find it difficult to pray out loud and in public. So I was not sure quite how to approach it. So I've looked in the Bible. I've looked in a book called The Valley of Vision, and a bit from Les Wheeldon. If you don't know of The Valley of Vision, that's a book of prayers by Puritans. And I found it very helpful, very useful. And it's almost a summary of the Bible in chunks. And it's great. It's very helpful. It puts things together. And I found it. But once you can get past the language, it's a really oldie-worldie, but very good. So the question I was asking myself, and possibly we can ask ourselves this morning, how real is our God to us? So that when we pray, we personally... So when we pray, we really believe that we are talking to the real living God who created us, redeemed us, as I prayed, preparing a place in heaven for us. So it'll be worth looking at some of the people that really did believe in the living God. And one was Moses. God did a lot of speaking to Moses, but sometimes Moses spoke to him as well. But he spoke to the children of Israel. This was just before Joshua was commissioned to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And he started to warn them about what they were going to find when they get there. There's all the lovely food and everything, lamb, flowing milk and honey. But the people there were a very sinful nation. And they worshipped false gods. And he knew that the children of Israel themselves were very quick and easy to forget what God had done for them, especially the last 40 years wandering through the desert. It'd take them out of captivity, and they'd sinned, and he kept them in the desert for 40 years. And even in the desert, he performed miracles before them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Imagine your shoes lasting 40 years. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? And they very quickly forgot the things that the Lord was doing for them, and often turned to idols to worship and to grumble about God. One of the things that was obvious day by day was whenever they were to move, God moved. They had a pillar of smoke over the tabernacle during the night, day, and a pillar of fire over to the tabernacle during the day, so they could see God's presence in the midst. And when that moved, that meant they'd got to move on. And it's amazing they'd got that presence there with them, and they just didn't appreciate that that was what it was like. And having told them all what to expect, he then said this wonderful sentence. It says, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him?" And, you know, some verses you never notice. You know, 70 years I've been around, and I really only noticed that this time when I read it. The Lord made it stand out to me that the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. And false gods are just not there. They are false gods. And I thought, that's lovely. The other people, what they're relying on is bits of wood, bits of stone, bits of marble, gold, silver. And they're expecting these objects that they've made to answer their prayers, to do things for them. But they're just inanimate objects. And you wonder how they can be so deceived. But our God is near us when we pray to him. Another one was Elijah. And you all know this story. He was a prophet. He had a very close relationship with God. God spoke to him, and he acted on what he was told. And the bit I'm going to talk about, which you all know about, was he was the main prophet to the Israelites. Many of the other prophets were being killed by Jezebel. That was King Ahab's wife. She was a worshipper of Baal, and she was turning Ahab away from God into worshipping Baal. And obviously the people in the country were following this teaching. And they were, instead of it being a good thing, it was a bad thing, because they were beginning to turn to sin and do things that would displease, especially the living God. Now, Elijah had been told by God that there would be no rain in that country until he said so, that it would rain. And Elijah arranged a meeting with Ahab to tell him this, that there'd be no rain until God says. And this is about 3 years after he was told that, he met up with Ahab and put out this challenge to them: bring 900 prophets of Baal and Asherah to the top of Mount Carmel, and I'll give you a challenge. And he did so. They got 900 prophets there, and obviously there were a lot of people that came with it to see what was going on. And he told them to sacrifice a bull on an altar, build an altar, sacrifice a bull, put wood and everything around so that it could have a fire to burn the sacrifice. And he then says, right, whoever's God answers the prayer and brings fire down, then he is the living God. And I'll accept that, and you've got to accept that. And Ahab said, yes, fair enough, let's do it. And they did it. And started to shout. He said, you go first. And they started to shout and pray and call out and beg Baal to come and set this thing on fire. And he spent all day, and Elijah began to mock them a bit, go on, shout a bit louder and so on. And no matter how much, they even cut themselves to, don't know whether shedding blood was going to please these non-gods. Anyway, it didn't happen, obviously, as you know. And then he built his altar and killed his bull and put the sticks on. But he then said, just chuck gallons of water on as well, just for fun, and poured all this water over it as well. And then he prayed this prayer. He said, O Lord God, let it be known, made known today, that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning the people's hearts back again. And that was all he prayed. And then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the whole sacrifice and all the water too. That's amazing. And it must be staggering for all those 900 worshippers of Baal, the things they went through that day to try and prove Elijah wrong. But just in a matter of minutes, God answered Elijah's prayer. And the people saw it too. And all the people fell prostrate on the floor and cried, the Lord, he is God. And God turned his people back to himself again through that. And that was the confidence that Elijah had built up by serving God daily in everything that he said, everything he did. And one of the things that I wonder was, how much do we not appreciate that we've got gods in our lives that are taking us away from the real living God? The devil is very crafty, and usually it's through discontent that he makes us, if I turn away from God. And I was just thinking about our society today. We could list loads and loads of things that we wish weren't happening. Things like equality, where we're supposed to make everyone equal in value in society these days. But then schools are being forced to teach children about transgender issues, same-sex relationships, and they're dropping to preaching of the gospel. We haven't got to preach the gospel in schools. And it's dividing us all the more because society is ignoring the sinfulness of wrong relationships. And then we see the adverts on telly, don't we? Fun is all about selling your car now. You can dance all you like, or playing bingo. Doesn't it look fun on the telly? Or insurance is the answer to your future well-being. Even you can have cheap funerals where there's no service and the ashes are delivered to your door. That sounds so convenient, doesn't it? And it leaves you time to party because there's no sorrow. Can you imagine how awful that is? And it's being advertised daily on the telly. And there's sports people and many other people being paid millions of pounds to play their games. And in general, people are finding it hard just to heat their homes now and to cook. There's no balance there in the way the money is just distributed. People just don't want to face up to reality these days. There are so many more things that are happening today that are turning us away from God. The other day, Joy and I was with some friends that we were just chatting away, and they live in Hitchin, and some of the friends come from Luton that way. And they were saying that some of the streets in Luton, you could walk around and just in the air, you can smell cannabis. There's so much of it being smoked these days that it's just drifting out into the street so much. I mean, you can't even have a bonfire to let smoke go out the street, okay? But you can smoke cannabis. It's, it's creeping bit by bit into society, and it's being allowed. And as I say, distractions, the devil builds up craftily. We can get caught up in some acceptable distractions, which we don't necessarily worship, but we put too much importance on them. It helps us get our priorities wrong, such as worrying about clothing, housing, food. So I lost my space there. Watching TV with adult humour and adult language or things we might find offensive, and getting caught up in soaps and dramas. I have to admit, I quite enjoy a good murder. You know, it's a mystery. You know? It's awful, isn't it? Nice tame ones like Murder in Paradise. You know, you don't see very much of what's going on as far as the murders are concerned. You know, it's not gruesome like Die Hard or something like that. But, we watch it as entertainment. And then we sort of listen to the news where just yesterday two people got stabbed. You know, and the day before, people have got stabbed. You know, the answer to problems is stabbing people. You know, are we allowing entertainment to feed our young people and growing adults into that sort of violence? And it's been a similar sort of thing that was going on in the land where the children of Israel were going, and these warnings were there. So he said to them, watch yourselves carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol of any shape, whether shaped like a man or a woman or an animal on earth or any bird that flies in the air or like any creatures that moves along the ground or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and you see the sun, you see the moon and the stars and all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them. We are enticed by adverts into believing lots of things, like we need a better version of what we have, a newer model, and yet another way to make a milky coffee. We have a brilliant internet now. And you can use the internet to find out just about anything. But society has caught up with that. And thieves now use the internet to con people out of their money with very clever clone sites and deceptive offers, especially getting people to transfer their money from one pension fund to another to get more money. I even got caught out the other day just applying for road tax. You can't think you can get caught out there, but I didn't read the line at the top carefully. I saw .gov.uk. I went in and I sort of put in the details of the car and said, do you want me to put the details up for you? So it brought all up what the car was all about, and then took the bank details, and then said, would you like a receipt? Press here. So I thought, yeah, I might as well. And as I was thinking, I thought, actually, I haven't said how much I've got to pay yet. Anyway, it went to the next page and it said, you have been charged 50 pence for this information. And I thought, that's never come up before when I've done road tax. And I started to look, I pressed the next page and it said, tomorrow you'll be deducted £7.95 from your bank account for this information. And I thought, there's something not quite right here. So I then went back and saw that it's on the web line. It said information for road tax for gov.gov.uk, something like that, which meant it was a different people. People are selling information. They were selling me the information about my car. Brilliant. But I immediately phoned the bank up and they said, oh, yes, they've taken 50 pence out. This is within half an hour. And I said, well, can you put a stop on it? He said, yes, we can do that, but we can't get the money back. You've got to get the money back yourself. But I've checked the bank account and they haven't had the £7.95, but how easily we're conned, and how many people have, you know, paid up and not realised that this is what's happening to them. And I'm not sure it's worth 50 pence to try and get my money back somehow. But, you know, 1,000 people do that. They've got £500, haven't they? So it's awful how people can get conned. So the question is, do we ever pray for our country? I know we do sometimes. It's in a mess. Our politicians mostly not taking notice of God's word in their decision-making. Time after time, these politicians looking after our interests are found to be breaking the law or making an awful lot of money for themselves through the position that they hold. They do not see themselves as servants of God or the people of the country. Paul in 1 Timothy urges us to pray for kings and those in authority. And I think we really need to take that much more seriously than we do. Another question, do people notice Christians being happier and content, or are we so caught up in the same difficulties in life, so much that our faith cannot be seen? The world is being deceived, and if we don't tell them, no one will, and no one will ever know. But they will never know that there is a better way of peace and satisfaction that can be theirs through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is God any further away than in biblical times? In the Valley of Vision books that I mentioned about, on the subject of prayer, there was this nice bit that said, God is incomprehensible, but he hears our prayers. He loves to hear our praise. And the question is, what displays the Lord's attributes? Sea, land, winter cold, summer heat, morning light, evening shade. What a pleasure it is to see a beautiful sunset or even a sunrise. The amazing beauty of flowers, animals, the countryside. We just love to look at them, don't we? And it's a real pleasure to us. His creation displays his greatness and fulfills what they were intended for. And he wants our desires to be to show the fruits of the Spirit by closer fellowship with Jesus, to let his Spirit conduct our behavior and prevent us from the effects of the corruption of the heart, failing or falling to wrong temptations, our daily struggle which stops our joy in him showing through. Do our prayers encourage us to be joyful in daily life? He loves to hear our praise. He loves us to honour him and to hear our thanksgiving. I have to admit that finding, excuse me, let's try the magic water again. I didn't say the word magic. I shouldn't say that, should I? So easy we drop into it, don't we? I must admit, finding this last year very difficult, and I've spent many a night with thoughts going through my mind, keeping me awake with the difficulties we've gone through. I've tried to turn my thoughts into prayer, and that does help. And Mike, I was chatting to him about it, and he said, pray through Psalm 23 when you get that, when I'm kept awake. And the first time was great. By the time I got to, he leads me beside still waters, that was it, I was asleep. it worked wonders. So, yeah, prayer, it's not just something we do, it's a talking to God, isn't it? And God is reacting and listening to us and answering our prayers, even just in small ways like that. And it's really brilliant, very encouraging. And I found that was a much more positive approach to the problem. And when Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, it's true. He does. And I can say that from experience. And Paul tells us not to be anxious. I don't know, I forget what I was talking to you now. I said, I'm starting to shake because Mike just asked me if I could lead the service. And, the nerves come. And I was like, Ian, I was talking to you. And, I was starting to get anxious about being out the front here. And he says, don't be anxious. So I calmed down. He told this to the Philippians, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's how I've made it from down there to here, and I'm still able to speak, and I'm not shaking too much. And this is all pastoral prayer, isn't it? It happens every Tuesday on Zoom. And a number of us get together to pray. And it's mostly praying for people in the fellowship or their relatives and friends in situations and things like Ukraine and now Turkey. And it is an excellent way to pray for each other. But we have to ask ourselves, is that the limit of our concern? Should we be praying more earnestly for our town, our country, our government, and for the people we meet to look for the opportunity to pass, for God to pass on the good news through us? Should this be as urgent as our relief from the problems we have? Now, Isaiah that we read earlier, you're wondering when I was going to get to it. He says, seek the Lord while he is near. There's that word again, near. God is near. And he's near to us this morning. And it's quite an awesome thought, isn't it? That he is near to us even today. And it says, the wicked need to turn their thoughts and ways to God, and he will have mercy on them, and he will freely pardon. Isn't that the peace that we have of knowing that our sins have been pardoned? That he allowed his son to die on the cross and take that punishment that we deserve. His sins are taken on his body, on the tree. And if we say, Lord, I'm really sorry that I caused your death by my sin, please forgive me, he will forgive us, and he will give us that peace, and he will freely pardon us, because it says the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love another picture I saw in the book, and that was of Jesus being the breach between God and us, and he's got one hand in his Father's hand, and the other hand reaching out to us. And between was a chasm that we can't breach. And there was that picture of Jesus rescuing us and taking us to his Father through him. And that just shows us he is the mediator between God and mankind. He is the only one that can do it. And it says in there that God's thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. And there was a lovely description, I think, of the cycle of life. Now, you've heard of the circle of life, haven't you? Well, the cycle of life, verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isn't that the cycle of life? God gives us his word. He wants us to pass the word on, which will pass on and grow fruit. And God will see the fruit growing and returns to him in praise, in prayer, in sacrifice. And what a lovely picture that is of what our responsibilities are on this earth, to receive God's word and to pass it on. And through our lives, to show that love, that care, that peace that passes all understanding. And the effect that we should have should please the Lord. I just sort of thinking about, we don't often see the effects that we have on people. And sometimes it's not till years later. Mike told us about the Christian group that he went to, and it was not till many years later that he was able to go back and say, look, you taught me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. I found him, you know, and that's great. As some of you know, I play golf, approximately anyway. It's with a group of men called the Men's Senior Roll-Up. Now, that's not cigarettes, I promise. We have a different captain every year. It's just for senior men. There's other groups in the golf club as well. And the club is actually going to close in a year's time. So this present captain is only going to be captain, or will only be there for a year, but he'll be the last one. And over a third of the players have left since they announced that the club was going to close. And that's because they want to get into another golf club before there's a big queue of people trying to get into these golf clubs. So it's caused difficulties, obviously financial-wise and so on, and the way competitions are run. But because of our circumstances at home, I've decided not to renew my membership for this year, which means I shan't get golf any cheaper, sort of thing. But obviously I can't play as often as I have been able to. And I thought I ought to just let him know that this is the reason why I'm not renewing, that I'm not disaffected by him as a new captain or the fact that the club is closing. So I just sent him an email explaining why it was. And I got a lovely reply back from him saying he remembers me fondly because the first time he played with the club was about 4 years ago, and I was in the same group as him, and he enjoyed playing with me. So I'm praying that he sees the Lord through me and comes to know him for himself. But you don't know the effect. You know, I didn't realize anybody liked me there, let alone somebody sort of fond memories of me. You haven't seen the way I play. So what are the benefits of having the same thoughts as God? He says, you will go out with joy and led with peace. Is that how people see me or you? So instead of moans and groans about the weather, the financial situation, the political situation, the awful things that happen on our streets today, we should be able to see what good things there are. Remember the children of Israel grumbling about God and how the bad things have got, but they've forgotten all the good things that God does for us daily. And We should be praising God for our homes, for our family, for the food we have, for our friends, for the kindness that people show us, and for sins forgiven. God's perspective on the important things in our lives. We will find then that people will be pleased to talk to us. The picture is, do they see the pine tree or the briars? Do you remember that bit? Instead of the thorn bush will grow a pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. What do they see in us? Do they see the grumbling or the nice picture of the happy person? And it says renowned. There's a nice word there. This will be for the Lord's renown. Well, I thought, what does that actually mean? I've heard it before, but not one we use very often, is it? But what it means is that his fame will be widely acclaimed and honoured. Well, that's not bad, is it? If we can do that, that'd be great. So what else does the Bible tell us about praying? Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus tells us to keep praying and not give up. God loves the persistent prayer and will answer their prayer, not necessarily straight away, but eventually. John tells us that we can have confidence in God, that if we pray in his will, he hears us. And that's the difficult bit, is understanding and knowing what God's will is, isn't it? And that's where we've got to trust and try and get to know God better, get to know his word better, so that we can more understand what his will would be. Also, Paul tells us in Romans that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. There it is again. We need to know God's will. And then lastly, a thought from Les Wheeldon. Psalm 106, verse 15, and Luke 11, verse 9, he says, God listens to the steady prayer that rises from the heart. Okay, he probably hears our sudden prayers and panic prayers, but he listens to the steady prayers that rises from the heart. So that continual reliance on him day by day. Whose glory do we want from the answer to our prayer? Is it ours or God's? Once focus is on God and his glory, the prayers become a channel for God's plan and his will to be performed. So often we pray for life to be easier, don't we? But once we abandon that line of praying, once we abandon that line of praying, we are liberated to pray for the things in our circumstances that truly glorify God. So can you see that difference that he said there? He's not saying don't pray for the life to be better, but pray that through the life circumstances you're in at the moment, that God can be glorified. And that makes a world of difference. He might make our circumstances better. He might make our circumstances worse. But he wants us to truly love God and trust God and glorify him with how we are. So that's an interesting thought. He may not want to change our circumstances, but for us to glorify him through these circumstances. Hopefully that should make us all think. To be encouraged, remember, God is near us when we pray.